Good happy Monday. It is October 3rd, 2022 on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Time now for another edition of Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. Week 6 in the books. And we had some upsets, some big wins, some historic wins also. As we'll go through the list of scores on this Monday edition, we will only talk about the Greater Thumb Conference East and West high school football teams. Tomorrow and Tuesday, traditionally since the beginning of this show, we'll talk about the Blue Area Conference and high school A player football because we have a little bit more time. We can go in overtime, whereas I like to try to keep it limited here on Monday and focus on the Greater Thumb Conference. Joining me after this segment will be Jonathan Bisher of Thumb Tailgaters Sports. He'll talk about the games he covered with Ubbly and most of the Greater Thumb Conference teams that he keeps track of also, along with our coverage. Our coverage last week in Week 6 was a homecoming game across Lexington taking on Elmont, and boy, what an upset win there for Elmont. We'll talk about that tomorrow in full detail. In the meantime, let's go through the Week 6 high school football game scores, which you can find on stanlackbroadcasting.com on our website. And you also can go there and find the list of games for Week 7 and a replay of that Croswell-Lexington-Elmont game also. In the Greater Thumb Conference, East and West, it was the Ubbly Bearcats defeating the Cass City Redhawks 42-7, the final score. Harbor Beach with the big win over Sandusky, 28-6 at Sandusky. Marlette bounced back after her loss to Harbor Beach back in Week 5, gets the win over Memphis, 46-16. The Bad Axe Hatchets defeat Vassar 59-7 as Bad Axe prepares for a big showdown this coming Week 7 against Lakers for what could be for the Greater Thumb West League title. Meanwhile, the Lakers flooded and doused the Reese Rockets 48-12. Unionville Seabank coming off their sabbatical of having injuries, not having enough players ready, but they came back and bounced back with a win over the Carroll Tigers, 22-14. Hopefully they'll still stay healthy enough to play again this week. In the Blue Water Area Conference, our game of the night at 92.5 FM and streaming at StLakeBroadcasting.com. On WBGV, it was the Elmont Raiders coming down from 20-8. Pulled out some big defensive fumble recoveries and capitalized with their win over the Croswell-Lexington Pioneers, who were undefeated up to that point. 37-26 was the win for the Elmont Raiders over the Croswell-Lexington Pioneers. Huge, big win for Elmont, running through that gauntlet of teams they had. Started off with North Branch, Armada, back-to-back losses, and then they get this big win against Croswell-Lexington. Armada defeated Wyoming 41-14. That was a replacement game where they were supposed to play Algonac, but Algonac canceled their season, of course, in the beginning of the season. Armada gets the win over Wyoming 41-14 as they get ready for a showdown against North Branch. North Branch, no problem, in Week 6 over Richmond 62-10. The Yale Bulldogs, after that overtime loss to Croswell-Lexington the week before in Week 5, able to pounce back, and they take down the Emily City Spartans 42-13. NCAA player football on a Thursday night, it was Mayville over Genesee 50-0. Friday night games, Kingston gets their first win over Deckerville since 1987, I believe. I'll double check and reconfirm that. Huge win for Kingston. They're still undefeated in the NCAA player stripes division as they won over Deckerville 56-20. A big emphatic win. Peck defeats North Huron 44-6, stays in the league for the Star Division title. Homecoming Saturday as they'll take on New Haven Merritt in a big showdown there. Bay City All-St. Cougars take down the Carsonville Port St. Lake Tigers 55-24 in the battle with the Cats. New Haven Merritt Mustangs over Caseville 52-6. Auburn Hills Oakland Christian takes down Burton Atherton 50-12. Farwell over K-Peck by 6, 46-40. And in the Independence League, Thumb area team is Brown City Green Devils defeating Britton Deerfield 60-38. A bounce back win after a big loss against in Week 5 against one of the top teams in the area also. It was a Saturday game also for Ashley. They defeat Akron Fairgrove in overtime 52-46. Those were your Week 6 scores. We'll get ready for Week 7 list of games and talk about the recap of Week 6 on the Greater Thumb Conference. We'll be back here on Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show on WMIC, AM 660 and 95.3 FM.
From Graff, Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Finally, we're starting to see new vehicles hit the lot on a regular basis.
Yep, perfect time for truck season.
You mean truck month?
Nope, truck season.
Truck month.
Truck season.
Truck month.
Take a look at the program.
Okay, truck season it is.
And guess what, Sam?
We got trucks.
Yes, sir, we've got trucks. We have three Chevy Silverados with the Trail Boss package and your choice of the 2.7 liter turbo, a 5.3 liter, or the very popular 3 liter Duramax diesel. We've also got a well-equipped LT, all here and ready for delivery.
And with up to $2,750 in incentive cash, plus an additional $1,000 in accessory cash, it's a great time to get your new truck.
And we have more than just trucks.
We also have a Z71 Suburban, LS Tahoe, and Buick SUVs.
And if you're looking for a Chevy Equinox, we'll have that too.
Truck season is here at Graf Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky. Stop in before they're all gone.
And welcome back to Sportsline on a Monday evening, October 3rd, 2022. Hard to believe we got week six in the books. 75% of the season is done, and now we just got three more weeks until the playoffs. I'm Eddie Fury here on Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show, our Monday edition where we talk about the Greater Thumb Conference. With me and joining me for today's show, because Mike Gallagher is busy with a major deadline issue, they're going to have a free issue, the Sienna County News, to everyone free of charge in your mail and your mailboxes. Get your publications or even get the online edition. Also, he'll be joining us tomorrow to talk about the Blue Water Air Conference. Paul Adams will be joining us possibly tomorrow also. He is busy tonight, as well as Scotty Bowlesby. So a lot of deadlines tonight, a lot of, cross-country soccer stuff to get in the papers also. But with me is the Thumb Tugger of Sports and Jonathan Bischer. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing just peachy today.
So your coverage, you did the Ubley Bearcats and Cass City game, and well, no surprise, the Ubley Bearcats came away with a big win over Cass City. We thought maybe Cass City could have a little bit of fight back on them. Watching this game and you covering that game with Cody, by the way, Cody Klee out there, want to make a big shout-out. He's part of our Thumb Tugger Sports bowling team, by the way, so now he's part of the crew, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fully engulfed in the Thumb Tugger crew now. He can't get rid of us.
Yeah, so we're stealing him. We kidnapped him, so.
Yep, he's stuck with us.
All right, so tell me about the game. You know, I felt that, you know, Cassidy might be able to give up a little bit of a tough time. Did they at all at any point in this game?
Oh, yeah, right from the beginning. You know, we talked about this game, you, me, Paul Adams, Mike Gallagher, Scotty Bowlesby at the beginning of the year, that, man, this is a game everybody kind of circled on the calendar. Week seven, Cassidy, Ubley, possible league title on the line. There was a league title on the line coming into the game, but it was not the expectations of the game that we all had, thinking, you know, Cassidy, a physical team like Ubley, they could match them, you know, punch for punch. Well, to start the game, Ubley got the ball, and Ubley's chugging along, running off tackle, no problem. Next thing you know, Ubley's faced with a 4th and 19 after a penalty and a sack. And I kind of look over at Cody, and I'm like, this is what we expected. You know, Cassidy gets Ubley in 4th and long. You know, what's Ubley going to do here? We all thought they were going to kick a field goal. You know, you got one of the best kickers in the area in Mueller. We're like, okay, here comes the special teams. They burn a timeout. Nope, what's Ubley do? They come out and spread formation, Eddie. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Something we never see with Ubley, right?
Wow, yeah. Because they're a full house swing tee type of team, first of all.
Yep, what do? They go Evan Peruski, run to the left, and he just runs it into the end zone for a 23-yard touchdown.
Hmm.
So just like that, the winds were out of Cass City's sail. You let Ubley backed up 4th and 19. You make a stop there. You get the ball. You march down the field. You potentially score, and Ubley would be trailing for the first time all season. Instead, you get one of the best athletes in the area in space, the Bearcats do. Coach Sweeney rolls the dice on 4th and 19, and it sets the tone for the game. Says, Cassidy, good luck stopping this kid. And Evan Peruski had himself a day. You know, he had 3 touchdowns. That was the first of 3. We get into the second quarter. Heilig scores one of his first 2 touchdowns. And then what happens? Cassidy fumbles on the very next play. After the Heilig touchdown, Heilig scores 2 plays later. Next thing you know, Ubley's up 21-0 with 8 minutes to go in the first half. And Cassidy could just never respond after that. Ubley gets the ball back. Peruski scores with about 5 minutes to go. Ubley gets the ball back once again, this time with about 15 seconds left on the clock. And he takes it 64 yards to the house to make it 35-0. So Ubley opens the second half of the running clock. And then limited possessions in the second half is the reason why the Bearcats only won 42-7. Cassidy was able to punch it in there. Late in the game, Riker Wallace scored from 5 yards out. to get on the scoreboard. One thing about Cassidy that I actually really like is they moved the ball halfway decent against Ubley's defense, but it wasn't the wing T formation that we see from Cassidy. They went spread, shotgun formation, two receivers both ways, and they kind of dinked and dunked their way through defense, Ubley's defense. They picked them apart, you could say. And it was actually kind of impressive watching Carter Patrick drop back, scramble a little bit, survey the field. They ran a lot of jet sweeps, and it was really putting Ubley's defense to the test. Now you got to give credit to Ubley's defense and Coach Becker that they stood up. They did not allow Cassidy to score until the end of the game there, kind of when the second string and JV kids were in there in the fourth quarter. But Cassidy showed that they can, when trailing, they can move the ball if they can't move it out of the wing tee.
So did Ubley ever go back to that spread, or was
no,
that the
that
only
was
time?
The only play we've seen it. No, they went wing tee, ran it off tackle, and you couldn't touch them. Yeah. That was just I think Coach Sweeney looks and goes, it's 4th-and-19. I got to throw something out there that Cassidy's never seen before. They did just that, and it was more of a, we're going to get our best athlete in Evan Peruski in space, and four guys missed, and that was it.
Final score right there, 42-7 for the Ubley Bearcats. They've only allowed 36 points so far through week six, scored 290 points, best team overall in the Greater Thumb East, obviously, still undefeated at 6-0. And now this week, they have week seven, and they have Unionville Seabowing. Now, Unionville Seabowing just came off.
Sandusky this week.
Oh, that's right, October 7th, that's right. They'll have Sandusky. And Sandusky, fall hard against the Harbor Beach Pirates themselves, but they end up losing. But Harbor Beach able to get that win after the win also back in Week 5 against Marlette. They only got one loss thus far, so now Sandusky versus Ubley. Is this at Sandusky, I believe? I believe it is.
No, it's at Ubley.
Okay. So, but I think what Ubley has been doing to opponents so far of this record and manner kind of run roughshod. Only one win for Sandusky, and that was against Memphis earlier. They're 1-5 overall, only scored 106 points, just coming off a loss to Harbor Beach. The Ubley Bearcats are just going to continue to prowl their way through the rest of this because they'll have Sandusky, USA in week 8, and then in week 9 they'll wrap up the season against Reese also. I think they're going to go undefeated at this point.
Yeah, it's really shaping up to be that way for Ubley. You know, you got Sandusky kind of in the bottom of the Greater Thumb East, and you got two of the bottom half teams in the Greater Thumb West in Reese and USA. USA just won their first game last week after taking 2 weeks off due to a lack of players, due to injuries. So, yeah, it's shaping up for Ubley to be 9-0 Greater Thumb East champs. Now, as I say that, it seems like every year USA plays Ubley really tough. So don't sleep on the Patriots, especially if they're healthy in 2 weeks. But it's definitely shaping up for Ubley to, you know, be at the top of the TSA polls and to maybe be a team of the year and make that deep run that we're all expecting the Bearcats to do. Like Paul said, he joined us on Friday night on air for a little while. It's big-time expectations for the Bearcats. It's pretty much state title or bust. We need to get there, if not win it. And it's you definitely start hearing the chirping around Ubley, like, hey, this is a special team. They're only allowing about 6 points a game. They're scoring almost 50 a game. How nobody's figured out how to stop them yet. You know, they absolutely took care of business against who we thought would be the three toughest teams in the schedule, Bad X, Harbor Beach, and Cassidy, all by a piece of cake. So, I mean, it's really shaping up that way for the Bearcats.
All right, it's Jonathan Bish here. And stat-wise, how did this game go?
For Cassidy, like I said, they actually threw the ball decently, 5-11 for Carter Patrick. Only 36 yards, though. Like I said, it was a lot of dink and dunk, running the ball 137 yards on the ground. Landon Schott leads the way, 11 carries for 44 yards. Riker Wallace, 9 carries, 36 yards, and touchdown. It was Evan Peruski and Mark Heilig. Evan Peruski, 9 carries, 165 yards, 3 touchdowns. Mark Heilig, 127 yards and 2 touchdowns on 11 carries. Seth Maurer, even 8 carries for 46 yards and a touchdown. So you couldn't just key on one person for Ubley once again. They had three guys that really just took care of business. And Cass City, we thought with Cam Goshawk coming back, maybe they would have some senior leadership in that backfield. He got banged up early in that one. We didn't really see him after that. Riker Wallace, the young freshman that's kind of busted onto the scene, was held in check. Lane and Schott, who's kind of become their workhorse, was held in check for the most time. He's actually fumbled the ball once. So, you know, this ugly defense, they're not only taking away your first option, they're taking away second, third, and fourth options for every offense, and it's making it tough for these opposing teams.
All right, so the Ugly Bearcats will have Sandusky this coming week 7, and that's the Ugly Bearcats, still undefeated. And they have Sandusky, Unionville, Seboing, and Reese, and it looks like they could go undefeated, but we'll see what Sandusky, Unionville, and Reese has to say about that. We've seen a couple upsets that happened in week 6, so we'll talk about that coming your way. Jonathan Bishop from Thumbchugger Sports, we'll be back with him here on the Sports Lending High School Football Sports Show.
From Graff, Chevrolet Buick, and Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Finally, we're starting to see new vehicles hit the lot on a regular basis.
Yep, perfect time for truck season.
You mean truck month?
Nope. Truck season.
Truck month.
Truck season.
Truck month.
Take a look at the program.
Okay. Truck season it is.
And guess what, Sam?
We got trucks.
Yes, sir. We've got trucks. We have 3 Chevy Silverados with the Trail Boss package and your choice of the 2.7-liter turbo, a 5.3-liter, or the very popular 3-liter Duramax diesel. We've also got a well-equipped LT, all here and ready for delivery.
And with up to $2,750 in incentive cash, plus an additional $1,000 in accessory cash, it's a great time to get your new truck.
And we have more than just trucks.
We also have a Z71 Suburban, LS Tahoe, and Buick SUVs.
And if you're looking for a Chevy Equinox, we'll have that too.
Truck season is here at Graff Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky. Stop in before they're all gone.
Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. I'm Eddie Fury. Week 6 recaps and looking ahead to Week 7. We talked about what the Ugly Bearcats did against Cass City. That was the Thumbtuggeters Sports game of the week on Channel 1 also. Just one game last week, and our game we'll talk about tomorrow in the Blue Water Area Conference with the Crosby Lexington Elmont games and all the BWAC games also in high school 8 player football tomorrow also. But focusing on the Greater Thumb Conference, we got through Ugly Cass City. By the way, Cass City themselves, they will have a game against Marlette, and we've got a quick minute here. A lot on the line for Cass City and Marlette. This is a big showdown.
Yeah, that's a big game. A lot of playoff implications on that one. Cass City falls to 3-3 after the loss to Ugly. Marlette stays at 5-2. 4-2 after beating Memphis. So that's a one where playoff points can be swung either way. You know, Marlette, if they don't want to have to face Ugly week one of the playoffs, they better win that game. Cass City, that's a must-win game for them to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll have Marlette this week, then they'll have Carroll, and then, Beale City.
Oh, don't even talk about week 9. Oh.
Yeah, Beale City is 6-0, and by the way, that's a thorn in the side of the Ugly Bearcats when it comes to the state semifinal playoffs also, by the way. So
yeah, I think there might be – I don't know if that game's on Friday or Saturday, that Cass City-Beale City game, but there might be a few coaches headed that way to watch that game.
And Marlette, like I said, this week they have Cass City. Then they'll have Vassar. You can't look past the Vassar Vulcans. They'll surprise you. Our Lady of the Lakes, they only have one win on the season. That should be a win for Marlette, but you never know. Vassar's 3-3. They'll have Unionville Seboing after their loss to Bad Axe 59-7. We'll talk about that in the 6 o'clock hour also. Plus, Vassar will have Harbor Beach later on. Vassar will be against Unionville Seboing this week themselves. So let's talk about the Harbor Beach Pirates. They got the win over Sandusky, back-to-back wins for Harbor Beach, and their lone loss was to the Ugly Bearcats, and that was a shutout loss. And against Marlette, they had no problem. They got the big win, and they're moving on. I mean, right now, only one loss. They have Memphis this week. That should be a win. And then they'll have Bad Axe. That's going to be a big showdown, a very interesting game there. And then they'll have Vassar. But for the Harbor Beach Pirates, did just enough to defeat the Sandusky Redskins, who gave them a pretty tough time. It was 28-6 for the win for the Harbor Beach Pirates.
Yeah, Harbor Beach, you know, after that shellacking, we'll say, that they took from Ugly 2 weeks ago in Harbor Beach, they definitely righted the ship with a big-time win against Marlette, where, I mean, they took care of business. Eddie, you've seen that game. It was all Pirates in that one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they kind of came back to earth a little bit against Sandusky. Sandusky controlled the clock, it seemed like, you know, limited the scoring, like you said, 28-6. They ran for more yards than Harbor Beach. Harbor Beach really got them through the air, it seemed like, though, for 92 yards and a touchdown. But it's kind of the game you expected, a lower-scoring game. Ball was ran 70 times, so the clock runs. So, yeah, there's not going to be much offense. It's kind of the game I expected with the ugly Cass City, except that turned out I was completely wrong. Shocker there. But Harbor Beach, they went in there and took care of business against the Redskins. You know, they're beating the teams they should beat. They're going to have a big test, like you said, in 2 weeks against Bad Axe. That's going to be, you know, really their next big one on the schedule. We'll re-find out how good this Harbor Beach team is. You know, they face a team that similar loss against Ubley early in the season. We'll find out how good Harbor Beach is. And if you're Sandusky, Coach Jacobson, you look at the season as, okay, we hung in there with Harbor Beach. We ran the ball just as good as them. We just got to keep improving week to week, and we got to see if we can't make some noise against the Bearcats this week.
Yeah, 39 rushing attempts, 163 yards rushing for Sandusky, got one touchdown out of it. Harbor Beach, 30 attempts, 160 yards, but they got three touchdowns. They got their touchdowns. Offensively, Sandusky, 3 of 6, 50% completion, had 37 yards passing. Harbor Beach going to the spread to the, I formation once in a while, but also the wing. They can do it all. But 92 yards passing, 4 of 8, 50% completion, and a touchdown. Allison, pretty efficient for Harbor Beach. Working with some short field also, more than likely on a turnover and downs, but also on the punts, they were able to return them. And pretty good field position for Harbor Beach, which I would explain the low yardage, although they got over 200-plus yards. But very efficient win here for Harbor Beach to move on to the next week.
Yeah, like I said, they went in there, they took care of business. They're beating the teams they should. It's now going to really come down to that Bad Axe game. For playoff points for them. Remember, it's not six wins in a year anymore. It's all about playoff points. That's a big game for them. They can't scoop some playoff points because Bad Axe is more than likely going to come into that game with one or two losses. They got a big showdown we'll talk about later. But that's the next big game for Harbor Beach. You expect them to take care of business against Memphis. You expect them to beat Vassar. It's really about Bad Axe for them. For Sandusky, it's about getting by Ubley. And then you got a little bit of an easier schedule coming into your final two games. That's where you can really look at building for next year for the Sandusky.
And Harbor Beach will have Memphis, so they have a little bit of a break there. Sorry, Memphis, this week. While Sandusky will have the Ubley Bearcats, a big confrontation there. It's going to be tough for Sandusky. Otherwise, you got to play the games, and hopefully things will turn around come next year for Sandusky. And it seems like every 2-3 years it does.
Yeah, it seems like Coach Jacobson, you know, he'll have a couple down years. He'll really incorporate those young sophomores and freshmen, build them up. And by the time they're seniors, he's usually got one or two good runs in them. And then he just reloads it again in a couple of years. So give Coach Jacobson some time. He'll have these Sandusky football guys. He'll have them back in shape in a year or two.
A trio of leading rushers for Sandusky. Jackson Renke had 35 yards, 46 yards for Carter Krause, and Kyle Giebord. 12 attempts, 56 yards, so he took it on his shoulders also, along with the passing also.
Nice to see Giebord really start to take control of this offense, really be the leader on the team that we kind of expect him to be. Like you said, you still got Jackson Ranky and Carter Krause. They're both going to be returning next year, so you'll have your two main running backs come back next year. Like I said, Coach Jacobson will have this Sandusky football team ready to rock and roll come 2023.
Yeah, Harbor Beach led at half, 14-0, and then they scored another 8 points before Sandusky got their lane alone score in the third quarter. 6 more points for Harbor Beach to win 28-6 over Sandusky. All right, that's Harbor Beach Sandusky. We're going to head into the 6 o'clock hour, top of the hour news and information come your way. We'll come back, talk more Greater Thumb Conference. A lot of talk about big showdowns coming up in week 7. You know, Lakers Bad Axe, that's the big one, among other games, folks. We'll be right back here on Sportsline High School Radio Football Show with Jonathan Bisher at Thumb Tuggeter Sports. We'll be right back.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment, rental, sales, and service in Fort Gratiot today.
In these uncertain times, fear can be debilitating or just simply overwhelming. Obviously, it can have a negative impact on your health as well as your wealth. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency is the solution to just such problems. Let's face it, reviewing and obtaining the correct health insurance coverage is more crucial now than ever before.
Open enrollment is upon us. Call today for an appointment, 810-984-1373.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
Welcome back to Sportsline on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM. I'm Eddie Fury, Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. And with me for today's evening show on this Monday, October 3rd, is Jonathan Bishop from Thumb Tugger Sports. We've already talked about Ubley, touched on the Ubley Cass City game. We touched on the Harbor Beach Sandusky game also. And now we're going to talk, we touched also on Marlette with a big showdown against the Cass City Redhawks this week. Cass City coming off a loss, while Marlette's coming off a big win against the Memphis Yellow Jackets. That was expected. 46-16 was the final score. 280 rushing yards for the Marlette Red Raiders. 83 passing yards also. 13 first downs. And Memphis mustered 76 passing yards. 90 rushing yards also. Marlette was just all over the Memphis Yellow Jackets. In the first quarter, they scored 22 points. Marlette scored 16 more. There you go right now. It was 38-0 at the half. 8 more points in the third before Memphis got their score in the third and fourth quarter. No points for Marlette, but I think they were just pulling the gas off the pedal. Knowing Danny Lester, he would probably do that against a team that he's already handled pretty well. Quentin Sarton, passing yards, 66 yards. Just 2 for 2, but he got a touchdown out of that. Adam Wilcox, leading rusher for Marlette, 102 yards, 7 carries, 1 touchdown. Aaron Bauer, reception for 62 yards also. Leading receiver. And let's give credit to Memphis. Number 3, Josh Gasly, 4 of 5, 76 yards and a touchdown. Josh Blazak, 18 carries, 63 yards. And Bryce Sturzinger, 3 receptions, 68 yards receiving for the Memphis Yellow Jackets. Good bounce back win here for Marlette there, Jonathan.
Yeah, Marlette comes in. They take care of business against Memphis, like every team in the Greater Thumb East, not named Memphis, should. And they get to work out a few kinks before their big-time matchup this week against Cass City, because, you know, this is one, if Marlette can get by Cass City, then they have Vassar and they have Water for Our Lady of the Lakes. They could be going into the playoffs easily sitting at 7-2, which might allow them to not have to play Ubley in the first round of the playoffs, which would be a huge break for Coach Lester and the Red Raiders. And now, with that being said, I don't think they've had the greatest success against Cass City. Cass City, another one of those ground-and-pound physical teams that Marlette seems to struggle with year in and year out. So it'll be a big-time matchup, one that us at Thumb Tailgater definitely looking at covering, just because there's so much on the line there.
Yeah, last year Cass City was 5-5. They did lose to Marlette in the districts, 28-0. That was last year, 2020. Cass City won, but that was a totally different Cass City team back then in 2020. That was a 50-0 win. So, you know, Marlette is, you know, smarting off those losses, and they would love to gain some revenge this year, especially with that much on the line right now for them to get into a playoff spot.
Yeah, they're really on the line. Like you said, Cass City's had full control of them, 41-16-2 all-time record against Marlette. Coach Lester's really probably going to turn that into their guys to speak, say, hey, we've got to have a good week of practice. You know, this is against a school that's had our number throughout the history. Yeah, we got them last year, but that was last year. This is a big game for the Red Raiders and for Cass City. Cass City, if they want a shot at making the playoffs, this is a must-win game for the Red Hawks.
Now, for Marlette, they are 4-2. If they lose this game and they win against Vassar and Our Lady of Lakes, is that going to be enough?
I believe so. I believe that will be enough for them to get to the playoffs. I think it's a big game for them to avoid Ubley in the first round. That's really where it comes for Marlette. I think they're about locked in to make the playoffs, especially if they win at least one of their next two games against either Vassar or Our Lady of the Lakes. For them, it's just don't run into Ubley round one and you stand a fighting chance. The only problem is round one, if they avoid Ubley, is probably going to be a rematch with Harbor Beach, and that did not go well for them either. But I definitely give them a better chance against Harbor Beach than I do against the Bearcats.
What did you see from Cass City, and I think you've seen them a couple times already, that might be effective against this Marlette Red Raider team?
Just the physicality of running the ball down Marlette's throat. You know, Marlette's a team that typically struggles with teams that can run the rock 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Marlette's much more of a finesse team than a physical team, and Cass City, if they're fully healthy with the likes of Landon Schott, Riker Wallace, and Cam Goschok, they can really pound the ball down the middle, and that could be tough for Marlette to stop.
And what does Marlette have? I think they've been, this year really focused on the run, and it has been effective. They are known for that spread, but they do the run on the spread. Rare that you see them in the eye or even the full house wing tee. It's mostly in the spread.
They got this young running back, Adam Wilcox, that's kind of burst onto the scene the last couple weeks. He's been a big part of this Marlette running game. We seen him when they played Ubley. He broke off an 80-yard run against the Bearcats. He had a big week last week. He's kind of this freshman for Marlette that I think they're starting to turn some heads in Marlette. If you're not from Marlette, you probably really haven't heard the name yet, but watch out. He's kind of that X factor for the Red Raiders. If Coach Lester is going to find a way to get the ball in his hands different ways in the backfield, he's going to be one to watch out for. And if he has a big game, there's a good chance the Red Raiders are going to win.
Yeah, he has 236 rushing yards so far, 3 touchdowns. Really broke out in the third game, had 80 yards against Ubley, like you said, on that one carry and that one touchdown. Had 7 carries against Memphis, so he got, you know, starting to learn a little bit about the running offense. 102 yards and a touchdown last week against Memphis also. And he does play some defense as well. But, you know, this offense also runs through the quarterback of Marlette, Quentin Sarton.
Yeah. And the big thing for Quentin Sarton is accurate with his passes and making the right decision. He's athletic enough. He can run against any defense. But his decision-making has got to improve.
321 yards passing so far. 4 touchdowns, and he has only 1 interception. So there you go right there. But his best game was in week 2 against Unionville Sebring with 142 yards rushing. He has 7 rushing touchdowns. So obviously the offense, rushing-wise, he's the leading rusher by far, I believe, of 416 yards, 71 attempts. So he's the running quarterback. But also it's a very dangerous because sometimes in that type of offense, you kind of do that delay handoff in the spread.
Yeah, they do a lot of read options. So about him, it's about knowing when to run it, when to give it to his tailback. But he's an athlete. He can definitely be a football player. He can be a difference maker on any team he'd be playing. Denny Lester's got a good one there. I just want to see him make a little bit of better decisions in that read option. Maybe get that completion percentage a little bit up when he throws the ball. Because Marlette's got some weapons. They just got to figure out different ways to get into their players' hands.
Yeah, Wesley Chapman's another weapon. I think, you know, Marlette has more weapons than Cass City. Am I wrong in that?
No, I don't think you're wrong in that. But it's just a matter of can they get the ball in their playmaker's hands. That's where they struggle against these good teams is finding different ways to catch defenses off balance.
And you've seen both these teams. Who has the better size to maybe penetrate the offensive line?
oh, I think Cassidy's up front is going to be way more physical, and that's what Marlette struggles with. Watching Marlette against Ubley, Ubley got after it. They were in the backfield nonstop. I seen it against Reese. Cassidy's defensive line got after it. They were in the backfield nonstop. They had a couple of shots at Ubley in the backfield. So I really think it's going to come down to how well can Marlette's offensive line block and how well will Cassidy's defensive line get after it.
All right. They're going to really depend on Tyler Isidorek with the lead block also. Let me see who else. Wesley Chapman, I had mentioned, number five running back. He has over 200-plus yards, so, like I said, more offensive weapons than Marlette. But, again, like you said, physicality. 233 yards rushing for Chapman, and he has three touchdowns. Receiving-wise, he has 95 yards. So, yeah, a very interesting game. This is one of the game of the weeks, I think, Marlette Red Raiders, along with the Bad Axe Lakers game, which we're going to be talking about here pretty soon. Kind of like a must-win situation for both teams. They would love these playoff points, so a lot on the line, not only for Cassidy, who was 3-3, but for Marlette. They got a little bit of a breathing room at 4-2, but you never know how these playoff points could play out also. Then they'll have Vassar in Our Lady of Lakes. Basically, you just want to win out here.
Yeah, basically you want to win out. You want to take care of business. You want to be playing the best football coming down to the end here. We're in the final 3 weeks. So, like I said, this is a must-win game for Cassidy, and it's a very important game for Marlette.
All right, Jonathan Bishop for the Tailgater Sports. I'm Eddie Fury here on Sportsline Radio, High School Football Sports Show. We'll be right back with more on the Greater Thumb Conference on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Denny King, the King of Cars, here at Moore Motors in Caro. What a crazy couple years we've had, coming out of an unprecedented quarantine. Toilet paper and food shortages, insane gas and fuel prices, mask or no mask, vehicle shortages. And it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, this world, and particularly the car business, has changed forever. With that said, Moore Motors Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram is here, fully staffed with seasoned veterans to assist you with all your car needs. Sales, parts, service, and body shop. We have certified experts on hand to assist you ordering exactly what vehicle you want with the exact options. And finally, I can say we have 34 new vehicles and 58 pre-owned in stock. And don't worry, friends, we're not charging over sticker for our vehicles like some of our competitors. We're paying top dollar for needed trade-ins as well as lease turn-ins. So come experience why we were voted the number one new car dealer in the Thumb by you, our friends, neighbors, and customers. This is Denny King, the King of Cars, and I'm excited to assist you and see you soon. Or visit us on the web at themooreautogroup.com.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. I'm Eddie Fury, and we move on to the Greater Thumb Conference in the West Division. Leading on top right now is the 6-0 Ilkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers. We'll talk about them in our next segment. Mad Axe Hatchets is 5-1 also, and they are going to meet up in a big showdown. Otherwise, in week 5, or week 6, that is, September 30th, Mad Axe defeated Vassar 59-7. Lakers over Reese 48-12. And Unionville Sebring Patriots defeats the Carroll Tigers, having 2 weeks off, healing up, obviously does wonders for a team. And they get the win over Carroll Tigers there, Jonathan.
Yeah, big time for USA to kind of calm the waters over there in the Bay Area. You could say waves were crashing on the shore pretty hard there. But they finally settled down. They got a win against Carroll, a much-needed win, a win that they should get. And so it's kind of, I think, calmed the storm a little bit over the Bay.
Yeah, and that was their first win, by the way. So,
yeah,
the last two games.
It was definitely needed.
Yeah, and they started off the season with a loss, a shutout loss to Harbor Beach, 34-0. A loss to Marlette, 38-12. loss to the Reese Rockets 34-6, and then a forfeit losses to Lakers and Bad Axe. So they didn't have to play the two top teams, but they come back and beat the Carroll Tigers 22-14. Now they'll have the Vassar Vulcans, who is 3-3. Vassar's coming off back-to-back losses, not only the Bad Axe, but I thought it was a surprising loss to the Reese Rockets 16-13 back on September 23rd also. So Vassar against USA. Can Vassar get back on track, or will Unionville continue their winning ways here after having a couple weeks off to heal up?
You know, I like to think I know quite a bit about high school football in the thumb, but I don't know anything about Vassar. 3-3, and we still don't know how good they actually are. They get beat by Lakers and Bad Axe, no problem, which nobody expected there. They struggle against Carroll. They take care of Bad Axe, no problem. They pretty much hand the game to Reese at the end. They got a forfeit win against Algonac. So it's one of those teams where, like, well, at times they show they're really good, and at times they show right where they usually are towards the bottom. I mean, it's one of those things where you give USA, who won their first game just last week, a pretty good shot to win it, maybe.
14 attempts on passing, on completed 5 against Bad Axe. Only 38 yards passing. They had one touchdown passing, at least, but 2 interceptions against Bad Axe. Rushing-wise for the Vassar Vulcans, 18 carries, 114 yards. Hey, if you can get over 100 yards against one of the top teams, I think you're doing okay at that point. And they averaged over 100-plus yards, other than the loss to Reese, where they had 91 yards only. But they had, against Reese, 115 yards passing also. So they're averaging over 100-plus yards at this point, Vassar Vulcans are. So up against the Unionville Seabowing Patriots, that looks pretty good on paper when you have a pretty well-balanced offense.
Yeah, you got to, looking on paper, you got to give it to Vassar over USA. But once again, I just don't know enough about Vassar to feel confident and then be like, yep, they should take care of business, no problem, against USA. Because USA, I mean, even against, it was a game against Marlette that they maybe could have won early in the season. Harbor Beach comes in there and takes care of business. They lose a game to Reese, which Reese is another one of those teams where I think they're starting to get it figured out a little bit offensively after a rough start to the year. But I still give USA a dark horse chance to win this one.
Yeah, so against Unionville Seabowing this week 7, then they'll have Marlette and Harbor Beach. That doesn't end well for you if you're looking for a playoff spot in points.
Yeah, Vassar's got a this is a must-win game for them to get in the playoffs once again, just like Cass City, sitting at 3-3. Got to take care of USA, because that Marlette game is looking like Marlette's the real deal. And then Harbor Beach, let me tell you about it. Harbor Beach is freaking good, and it's going to be tough for Vassar to hang in there with them. So if Vassar wants to sneak into the playoffs, this is a must-win game.
So the Reese Rockets, they're coming off a loss to the Lakers, 12-48. This week they have the Carroll Tigers, who have yet to win a game. Reese got some wins against teams they should win against. The surprising one was against Vassar. Only 2 wins for Rockets, and they won against Unionville Seabowing back in week 3, 34-6. Their first 2 games against Cass City, Harbor Beach, where they were shutouts, 92 points total with those 2 games, and then shutout against Bad Axe also, 52-0. Then they won against Vassar, lose to Lakers last week. I don't think, you know, there's no playoff hopes at this point, but hey, they'll have Carroll this week. They'll have Sandusky. That's actually kind of an interesting game, but then they end the season against Ubley, so you know Ubley's going to run roughshod over there. Sorry, Reese. But for some saving grace, at least you can try to get this win against the Carroll Tigers, who right now, no wins. Kind of looks bright right here for the Reese Rockets this week.
Yeah, Reese's next 2 weeks are really the weeks where they can maybe work out some kinks. So like you said, come week 9 against Ubley, it's just, yeah, that's a different animal over there. But really, it's another one of those teams where they started off the year 0-3 or 0-2 because they faced Cass City and Harbor Beach and a new offense, and you could tell they weren't comfortable in it. Then they win a game against USA. Like you said, they get slaughtered by Bad Axe. Then they sneak one out against Vassar, which is kind of surprising. And then they get taken care of by Lakers. So this is kind of another one of those games against Carroll. You expect them to win. You expect them to maybe win against Sandusky. It very easily could be a 4-5 team.
Yeah, and there's some players still on that Sandusky team that the Reese Rockets face, as well as Reese Rockets returning players, where last year Reese won 35-32. And they actually made the playoffs. They were 8-2 last year. And they actually beat the Lakers last year, surprisingly. But when they met them in the playoffs, they got, you know, shellacked 6-49. But, you know, total different picture this year. Quite a fall when you were 8-2 last year and you're 2-4 right now. But, like I said, you're playing for Reese Rocket pride. We'll see what they can do against the Carroll Tigers. Like I said, Jonathan, you did say it's so unpredictable in the thumb, especially teams that have no wins and they come up, or two losses like Elmont did, and then come up and surprise you.
Yeah, you just don't know, and it seems like, well, with USA not playing two games, we don't know a whole lot about them. Granted, the two games against Lakers, Baddocks, which we know are the top two teams in the West, it kind of seems like out in the West after Lakers, Baddocks, it's really just a toss-up. I mean, Reed beat Vassar, did not see that coming. Vassar, 3-3, chance to make the playoffs. USA still got Vassar. Carroll, we kind of know, is probably at the bottom of the West, but it's that those middle couple teams, Vassar, USA, and Reese, are just a lot of unknowns.
All right, that is the Reese Rockets taking on Carroll Tigers this week. They finish the season with Sandusky and Ubley. All right, the salivating topic has come your way. The Lakers up against Bad Axe this week. We'll talk about what the Lakers did in Week 6 also against the Vassar Vulcans also. We got the stats thanks to Paul Adams of the Huron County View. I'll be back here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show, WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM with Jonathan Fisher of Thumb Target of Sports. We'll be right back.
Liberty Lanes and Sandusky salutes the area athletes for their accomplishments and academic achievements. On your way to or from the game, come on into Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of the many tasty entrees on the menu. Enjoy the Friday fish specials and come back for the Sunday brunch. Liberty Lanes also has banquet facilities available. For information or to place an order to go, call 810-648-9860. That's 810-648-9860. Liberty Lanes, your family dining and bowling center in West Park, Sandusky, serving you for more than 40 years. You can find Liberty Lanes on Facebook.
How do you make the most of your land? Well, it depends who you ask. If you ask the Wrens or the Caggianos, who run with us on John Deere mowers, they'd tell you.
I mow first, then I do all the trimming.
Get as much done in advance as possible.
I jump out of the house, a cup of coffee, and I'm at work.
But the Upshaws, the Hubbards, and the Allens, who work behind the wheel of John Deere compact tractors, would say,
something that's worth doing isn't always easy.
If it's something you want, just go after it and try it.
And most of all,
I make the earth take the shape that I want it to take.
Then there's the Nelsons and the Mosers, who may mention from the seat of their Gator UTVs,
it's important to just take it one day at a time.
You can't be all work and not play.
The most fun we have on the Gator is just ripping around the property.
It's a way of life.
There are millions of ways to make the most of your land. How will you make the most of yours? Nothing runs like a deer.
See your John Deere dealer, Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Bad Axe, Carroll, Marlette, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Race, and Rochester Hills.
Michigan High School Athletic Association.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. We are live on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Jonathan Fisher from Thumb Target of Sports on the phone line with us on this Monday edition. And walking into the studio after working all day at the home offices of the San Luis County News is Mike Gallagher.
Hey, Eddie, how you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, you know, just a little bit late, but, you know,
figure
I'd pop in, say hey.
I know we're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow.
Yeah.
In the Blue Water Area Conference. In the
always do.
High school eight player football. I'm down another 50 bucks.
Man. Yeah.
Jonathan, stop me.
I can't. You're on your own, Eddie.
Do you guys like watching me lose money?
No.
We like watching you squirm.
We like what?
We like watching you squirm.
All right, speaking of squirming, boy, the Lakers did that. Dousing the Reese Rockets. We talk about what the Reese Rockets losing to the Lakers 48-12, your final score. At the half, it was 33-0. Into the third quarter, 48-6. And it's a final 48-12. 419 total yards of offense for the Lakers. Tyler, let's call Ethan Wisner. Have you seen him play there? Jonathan, 17 carries, 185 yards, four touchdowns for Ethan Wisner. One of two for passing for 34 yards and a touchdown. He had a catch for 4 yards also. What else can he do?
He throws the ball.
What?
He throws the ball.
Connor McCain, 5 of 8 passing. I think he's the true quarterback. 107 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he had 7 carries for 77 yards. Mikael, or is it Michael or Mikael?
Michael.
Michael Good, spelled with a M-I-K-E-L. 3 catches for 99 yards and a touchdown. Also, he had 4 tackles also. So Tyson Steinman, just 1 catch for 4 yards, but he got that for a touchdown. Always good for that. The Lakers, now they got a big showdown up against the Bad Axe Hatchets. This is a huge game, probably the biggest game in the Greater Thumb West.
The biggest game all year, maybe. The backyard brawl didn't quite turn out like we thought it would. So hopefully this one lives up to the expectations. Bad Axe Lakers for the Greater Thumb West, outright. It comes down to this. Week 7, the last game of the year. Can we ask for any bigger of a game at the end of the year? I would say probably not. And it's going to come down to which team is more disciplined.
Yeah. Have you seen this team, Lakers team, at all?
Week 1.
Well, I know you have, Jonathan. How about Mike?
I have not seen Lakers or Bad Axe since I was working up at the Tribune, to be honest.
Yeah, I was impressed by the Bad Axe Hatchets against Sandusky. They do have some playmakers. And the other side of this story is the former head coach of the Lakers is on the Bad Axe as a head coach now. So, you know, is there a little bit of animosity from his dismissal there from the Lakers now as the head coach for the Bad Axe Hatchets? I don't know. He would love to pull off a win and maybe pull off an upset also.
I very easily could be. I think there's a little extra fuel in the fire there for Coach Steve Verberg, you could say.
Yeah. So how much – who has probably the better offensive power? It's kind of hard to say at this point because Lakers did have a forfeit win. Mm-hmm. They didn't pick up a game at that point. So they are – well-rested at that point there, Mike. And then does that help also for you?
I think, you know, when you look at this matchup, you know, right off the bat, Bad Axe had that loss to Ubley to start the season. And, you know, we all kind of thought, oh, well, that's kind of disappointing to see, you know, Bad Axe not play that well against Ubley. But now that we're later into the season, I think we're realizing that, okay, Bad Axe isn't this terrible team. It's just that Ubley is this good. And we kind of knew that the Greater Thumb West, other than Lakers and Bad Axe, was a little bit down. So we kind of had this one circled on the schedule. Since the Ubley loss, Bad Axe has just taken care of business against everybody else that they've played. And I think they have the firepower to keep up with Lakers.
Mikey, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Is Bad Axe also working overtime?
Is Bad Axe what?
Working overtime. You said they were taking care of business. I wonder if they're working overtime also.
Maybe. Maybe they're still practicing right now. I don't know.
Is there an inside joke there?
Of all people should have got that.
So the Lakers, they'll have Bad Axe this week. Then they'll have Memphis. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. And then they'll have Garber at the end of the season. Lakers, do they have enough playoff points right now as it is with being 6-0?
Yeah. Yeah, more than likely. And then the Garber game, I mean, right now, both Bad Axe and Lakers, I feel like, are just battling for home field advantage at this point. I think they're both in. So right now it's just going to be trying to secure that top seed, maybe get a couple home playoff games, and, you know, get ready to go for playoffs.
Yeah, the common opponent, Lakers, won over Vassar 50-10, whereas Bad Axe had just beat Vassar this past week 59-7. Reese also 52-0 for the Bad Axe Hatchets. The Lakers defeated Reese this past week also 48-12. Just kind of curious. Here's a thing that the Lakers need to take care of, though, is their self-inflicted penalties.
Yeah, that's going to be a big thing, especially in a game that could potentially be a very close game. You know, big penalties that can swing momentum, you know, personal fouls, stuff like that. That's definitely something that they'll have to be on the lookout for. You know, it's a rivalry game.
Yeah.
There's a lot on the line, and, you know, things can tend to get chippy in games like that. So you're going to have to play a pretty clean game if you're Bad Axe or if you're Lakers, and, you know, that's going to be one of the key points, I think.
I think the same could be said for Bad X. Discipline is the key in this game. And now, I don't say discipline in football terms as in, you know, defensive line, stay in your gaps, read your keys. It's discipline between the ears, what's going on up in the head. Don't lose your cool. Because these are two schools, I mean, they're going to go at it. This is going to be an absolute physical game. And it might get chippy at times. Tempers might flare, but it's going to come down to who's going to remain calm, who's going to keep their composure, and who's just that we'll let the pads talk rather than our mouths or our extracurricular activities.
All right, so that game will be covered on WOW Sports, I believe. Paul Adams will also, for the Huron County View, is going to be right on top of that game, all over that game with the pictures and a full report on that come Thursday. I'm sure you may be itching enough to share it as it is online, as it is that night, because it's a very interesting game for us to wonder what's going to be the outcome. This game takes place at Lakers, by the way. It's Bad X at Lakers this coming Friday night. So, yeah. Oh, by the way, going back, people thought that the Marlette, as well as I did, Marlette Cassidy game would be on the Thursday, according to the MHSA website. You have confirmed that that has not been updated, but the game will be on Friday night.
Yeah, that'll be a Friday night game. That's just something that was a little bit off with the MHSA website. Before the season, it actually was scheduled for Thursday because of the referee shortage, but they did find a crew, and that will be a Friday night game.
Yeah, in fact, there's still a couple Thursday and Saturday games. There's some eight-player games that will be played also that we will bring up here when we go through our Week 7 list also. So, Jonathan, how do you feel? What's your pick on this Bad X Lakers game?
I got Lakers winning it as of now, but it's not one of those games where I'm saying Lakers are going to win it easily. They're going to have to earn it. This is going to be the first test for Lakers all year, their first real true test of a team that can, you know, go punch for punch with them. They've shown they can be a dynamic offense. They run a two-quarterback system, but Coach Steve Verberg and Bad X, he might be one of the best defensive coaches in the area behind the two guys in the East, behind Coach Becker and Coach Rubel in the East. But Verberg might have one of the best defenses, and he might have the best defensive player in the area in Jake McPhee. And I really wish I could see this Jake McPhee, Ethan Wisner matchup. Running back, fullback, meet each other in the hole. Who's going to win that battle? Because Wisner might be one of the toughest runners, and McPhee might be one of the hardest-hitting linebackers in the area.
Yeah, I think he's your Aiden Hutchinson of the Lions, but that's who he reminds me of, just how geeked up he is for games like that, especially defensively. He's a good offensive player when you get the ball to him. He's hard to stop as a tight end position when he catches the ball. I would love to see him put as a running back, or, you know, he does block down the field. He has to as a tight end, and that unique offense that they have also for Bad X. And they're both unique offenses, aren't they, with the Bad X and Lakers offense?
Yeah, they're both unique offenses. And really, this is going to be a big test for Lakers because they lost Jay Sears to a shoulder injury for possibly the season. Tyson Simon's got to kind of fill into that Wildcat role outside, so who's going to have the more weapons? If you're looking at Bad X, you got Keaton Braun, you got Griffin Meinhold, you got Evan Schenck, you got Jake McPhee. You know, there's four guys right there. Lakers have kind of been riding Connor McKean, Ethan Wisner. Wisner can stay healthy throughout the game. I don't think anybody can really stop him except for maybe McPhee. And you really wonder after McCain and Wisner who's going to step up now that Sears is out. Good can catch the ball a little bit, but we haven't really seen him do anything else. And is Tyson Steinman going to be able to hold his own against this tough Bad X defense?
All right, Bad X Lakers, big game in the Greater Thumb West. It's Bad X at Lakers. Can't wait for the tweeting updated scores on that also from WOW Sports. All right, when we come back, Week 7 games looking ahead in the Greater Thumb Conference and the rest of the coverage area teams in the BWAC and high school player football. We'll be right back here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. We'll be back in about 2 minutes or less.
This is Tanya Rubin, sales executive at Thumb Cellular. If you're thinking of switching mobile phone carriers, consider Thumb Cellular. Now is the time to get the tailored service you need from the local company you can trust. Unlike the other carriers, we like to build lasting relationships with our customers. I will work with your busy schedule to meet and discuss how we can best serve you. as the only local cellular carrier with the best coverage in the Thumb and nationwide, I can introduce you to what we call the Thumb Cellular Difference. Get the device you want, the plan you need, and the exceptional customer service you deserve without ever having to step foot in the store. So if you're ready for a better cellular experience, call me, Tanya Rubin, at 989-553-5282. Remember, at Thumb Cellular, we've got you covered.
You love Thumb Cellular.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
All right, wrapping it up here, our Week 7 list of games. Already Week 7, hard to believe. Be sure to check our thumbtailgater.com and also our sandlakebroadcasting.com website by tomorrow. I have the list of games up and try to figure out what games we're going to cover this week. We're still trying to figure that out right now. Logistics. All right, Week 7 games. North Branch at Armada. Oh, boy. Big show down there. We saw Elmont pull off the upset against Croslex. Can Armada pull off an upset against North Branch?
I think we've seen that Armada has the ability to definitely do that.
They did it last year.
They hung with Croslex this year. They took care of Elmont. I mean, anything goes in the BWAC right now. Now, granted, North Branch seems to be on another level right now.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, you can't really count out Armada in a game like this.
John. No, I give this one. This is the game of the week in the Blue Water area. North Branch seeing their first true test on the road against Armada. And Armada coming off a nice win against Wyoming last week and a thrilling win against Elmont the week before. So this one is up for grabs.
Emily City's at Croswell-Lexington. Should be a bounce-back win for the Croswell-Lexington Pioneers after being just shocked by the comeback by the Elmont Raiders.
Yeah, this will be a good opportunity for Croslex to get things going back in the right direction. And you're going to have to get things figured out this week because you got North Branch waiting for you the week after. But I'm looking forward to seeing how Croslex responds to that loss, and I think they'll be just fine.
Jonathan, you've covered now since joining Thumbtugger Sports Webcast a lot of BWAC games. Competition-wise, how do you compare it to the other conferences?
It's on a different level, and it's just a lot of that's because of the school size. I mean, these schools are 3-4 times the size of a lot of the Greater Thumb Conference schools. So, yeah, I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I think there are some teams that have run through the Greater Thumb Conference that could definitely compete in the BWAC. But the BWAC is definitely a little stiff competition, and it's just like the Greater Thumb Conference, though. Anybody can beat anybody any given week. Yale almost pulled off the upset against Croslex. Elmont does the following week. We've seen it in the East. Reese beats Vassar. We didn't see that one coming. So, I mean, it's anybody's night.
Richmond Blue Devils just came off a big loss to the North Branch Broncos, 62-10. Now they'll go up against Almont, and then they'll have Armada and Clintondale in the season. Now, we just saw the shocking win at Almont. I don't know, not so much shocking. They're a good football team. But Richmond Blue Devils, 3-3 right now. Going up against teams of this caliber, you could say, especially with the loss against North Branch, 62-10, where they North Branch only scored 34 points in Almont. Richmond Blue Devils, Almont this week. I think Almont is going to come off high off that win over Croswell.
Yeah, and I think if you're Richmond, you're kind of kicking yourself a little bit for losing the game against Yale, because now you're getting into the really tough part of the schedule. Your schedule was, I don't want to say easy, but it was easier so far this season. But now you got you know, three big ones, and it's going to be pretty tough to sneak into the playoffs for them.
Now, Jonathan, have you seen Almont yet this year?
Yeah, I watched him against Armada.
Okay, that's right. You did that game just a couple weeks ago. And, yeah, you can never look past an Almont team. Well coached. Try to be prepared. You know, they're a four-point loss only to Armada. We talked about that last week in our Sportsline show, which you can hear again on our website. So I think Almont continues it because two losses in already. Now you're playing some playoff major points, and hopefully you get a first-round home game.
Yeah, Almont's really all about focusing in on week 10 now, getting to the postseason, which I'm about sure they're locked. But like you said, it's really about getting that first round home game. Boy, does that set the tone for the playoffs if you can play at home behind that home crowd the first week.
Yeah, and how salivating is it at, when Almont got that win over Croswell, now there's two teams of one loss, and with Armada playing against North Branch.
It really opens up the VWAC. This game this week could decide the VWAC if North Branch take care of business. They are guaranteed a share of it. If they slip up to Armada, it's the BWAC's wide open once again.
Yeah, and then they have Armada this week, and then they'll have Croswell Lexington come week 8.
Oh, man, we're going to find out a lot about North Branch these next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was going to say because, you know, North Branch, they have done extremely well this year, but they still have to face Armada and Croslex. So we're really gonna see if they can stack up.
Yeah, they accomplished beating Almont and pretty handily later in the second half. You know, so yeah, they took care of business there also. So this week, I don't know. Does the Yale Bulldogs have a game scheduled this week? I was looking, and I can't find if they have a game because they would have played Algonac this week.
Yeah, I think
they'll take the forfeit win.
Yeah, I think if you're Yale, you just want to take the forfeit win here. Because that'll get you. Will that put Yale back at 500?
Yale right now is currently 3-3.
So okay, yeah, take the forfeit.
They're fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
So yeah, if they don't have a game, they take that forfeit win over Algonac, who canceled the season before it started. They would be 4-3. Then come next week, they have Almont. I think that's winnable for Yale, actually.
Oh, absolutely. Almont pulled off the upset against Croslex. Yale almost did it. Yale's going to have to play another game like they did against Croslex to beat Almont. But, man, if Yale gets to 5-4, I fully expect them to sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, and they have Lutheran, Macomb Lutheran, North Mustangs, who is 2-4 also. That's a beatable game there for Yale Bulldogs. But you like what you saw from Yale.
It looks like a completely different team than what we saw last year. And, you know, that's something we've kind of talked about. You know, it took Coach Grumman a little bit to get things going just because it was such a difference from what the program had been doing before he got there. But now, you know, they're hitting their stride, and it's not just offensively, it's defensively as well. The first touchdown against Imlay City was a pick six. And, you know, they're just playing really well right now, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. There was a great story in the Times Herald this weekend about Yale's win, and it sounds like it's really just a mindset thing for him right now. And that can be a really big thing, especially when the playoffs are on the table.
We're in overtime. We're going to do our legal ID at the top of the hour here. We are live here on WMIC and AM 660, 95.3 FM Sandusky. We'll be right back in about 10 seconds.
Keep your radio locked right here on the Thumbs Information Station, 660 WMIC AM Sandusky and 95.3 FM, W237 EQ Sandusky.
And we are in overtime. Greater Thumb East and West. We have Cassidy at Marlette. That's a very interesting game. We already talked to Jonathan about it there Mike, a lot on the line for both teams.
Yeah, this is going to be a big game for Marlette. You know, they pick up the nice win against Memphis last week, but that's a game you're supposed to win if you're Marlette. Cass City is going to be a tough one. We've talked about Marlette struggling a little bit to stop the run at the beginning of the season. Now, they've gotten a lot better at it as the season's gone on, but you're going to have to be really good at it in order to beat Cass City. But you can't count out Marlette because, you know, that's a team. They beat Cass City in the playoffs last year. You know, they're playing, Marlette's playing well right now, and they're a team that's also in the playoff conversation. So
and we already talked to Jonathan about this. Sandusky at Ubley also. Ubley, I think, is going to continue their winning ways.
Yeah, it's just it's the schedule has been so tough for Sandusky this year. You know, there's no breaks. You know, they play well against Cass City, but come up just short. They play well against Harbor Beach.
They did, yeah.
They ran the ball well, but they just come up a little bit short again. And you know, you can tell they're right there, but it's so tough when you're playing Cass City, Harbor Beach, Ubley, back to back to back. But Sandusky, they're gonna. I don't want to say it's going to be a close game, just because Ubley is so good right now. Mm-hmm. But Sandusky is not just going to pack it in and, you know, call it a night.
Right.
It'll be a competitive game, and then once Sandusky gets through that game with Ubley, you got a couple of winnable games to wrap up the season.
Memphis is at Harbor Beach, and then Bad Axe at Lakers. That's the big game we already talked about in our last segment. Unionville at Vassar. Unionville is going to play, I believe. So, yeah.
I have no idea, but they beat Carroll, so, I mean, why not keep it rolling, you know?
Speaking of Carroll, they'll have Reese, and we'll see if Reese can keep Carroll winless also. NCAA player football, Auburn Hills Oakland Christian is at Genesee on Thursday. They'll continue their winning ways there. KPEC at Kingston. Kingston, I believe, will be undefeated still, but I don't know. Maybe KPEC can throw something at them. You never know. Mayville at Deckerville, very interesting game. It's homecoming night. Deckerville now 3 losses. Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, Toledo Christian out of state. And then also they just lost to Kingston the first time since what year?
1987, yeah.
Historic win there for Kingston, and that did that at Deckerville also.
Yeah, this is an interesting game because this is kind of a must-win game for both teams. I think before the season, nobody really expected Mayville to be in the conversation for the Stars title. But right now, they're right behind Kingston. They're in second place along with Oakland Christian. Now they still have Deckerville and Kingston on the schedule. And you're going to have to win both of those if you want to win the Stars.
Well, not necessarily.
Well,
they just got to beat Kingston to have a share.
Yeah, well, if they lose to Deckerville, they'll have 2 losses, though. Yeah.
Oh, that's why they lost to Oakland Christian.
Yeah.
They do got to win both.
Yeah, but then if you're Deckerville, you know, these next couple games are starting to look like must-win games, too, if you want to get into the playoffs. Because 8-player Division I is so stacked right now. And, you know, you're sitting at 3-3. You're still definitely in the conversation. But I think you'd feel a lot better if you were going into the postseason at 6-3. I think you'd like your playoff chances a lot better. Mayville, I believe they have, or Deckerville has Mayville, Atherton, and Peck. So it's going to be a tough finish. It's going to be a tough stretch for Deckerville. But you know they've gotten through the toughest stretch of their schedule with Toledo Christian, Oakland Christian, and Kingston.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how Deckerville responds. It'll be nice playing Mayville at home. Deckerville is a tough place to win, and I'm interested to see how Mayville does because they've kind of been the surprise of the season, I think.
And then we'll have North Huron at Akron Fairgrove. North Huron coming off a loss to Peck. Akron Fairgrove coming off a loss to Ashley, so no Horn this week. So it'll be North Huron at Akron Fairgrove. That's an interesting game, actually, now.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, Akron Fairgrove, they've made huge strides this year. It would have been nice if they could have got that Ashley win. I believe that was an overtime loss. North Huron, I mean, they do what they do, and they're good at it. So I kind of, you know, give the favor to North Huron. But, I mean, it should be a competitive game.
Carsonville, Port Sanilac at Caseville. Does Carsonville, Port Sanilac get a win
this
here?
This is just what CPS needed. They've been, you know, the New Haven Merritt game was tough. Merritt got up on them early, and then they were CPS was never really in it. The All Saints game, CPS had a lead at the beginning of the game, and then it just kind of got away from them. I still think this is a good team. And Caseville, it's going to be a good opportunity for CPS to get a win and get ready for their final stretch because they're going to come back with Peck and then Kingston to wrap up the season. So,
yeah, that's a tough stretch there at the end for Carson. But Port Sanilac has got two wins, the forfeit win against International and the win over Ashley. Yeah, Ashley's been playing tough.
That's a nice win. See, you know, CPS, they're a good team. It's just been a tough couple of weeks for them.
Give you a clue in the North Central Thumb 8 player league stripes has Peck Pirates with one loss, but that was to Brown City non-league. They're 5-1, and they've been undefeated since that week one loss. Now they have a big showdown against the New Haven Merritt Mustangs. A lot on the line here for the Peck Pirates. It's homecoming Saturday afternoon also.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. Peck Saturday homecoming is a great tradition, and it's always great when there's something on the line. You know, it always seems like it's a big game when it comes to league standings when it's a Saturday homecoming game. And New Haven Merritt's a team that started off the season slow, but they've really proved that they belong in the conversation in the stripes. But then you look at Peck, and you know they've just handled everything the Stripes has thrown at them.
Yeah.
North Huron is a team that they hadn't beaten in 7 years. That's a team that they've struggled with. That's a team that they've lost to in the playoffs multiple times over the past 7 years. So I think this Peck team is just a little bit different this year. I think they're a little bit better than New Haven.
Not only better, but bitter about that loss to Brown City week one.
Well, you know, it's interesting because they were actually scheduled to play Genesee, and you know, I'm all for Peck Brown City coming back.
Yes.
That's awesome. But if you're Peck, you got to kind of be looking at that like, hey, we could be undefeated right now. But
I like them going out and challenging Brown City because
absolutely, yeah,
that's looking like a very good Brown City team. And if you're Peck, that game showed you a lot. We knew Caleb Lettner was the real deal, but it's still that game. If you're Peck, yeah, you take the L on the chin there, but man, that's a good Brown City team you lost to.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've started to realize. You know, I actually haven't seen Peck since that Week 1 game. They've been on the road a lot. Mm-hmm. They were back home last week for the North Huron game. But I'm looking forward to seeing Peck up against New Haven because it won't be that, you know, that type of matchup where, oh, we got to go up against Brown City, one of the best teams in the state in Division One. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Peck in person and, you know, seeing Caleb Lettner again in person.
New Haven Merritt Mustangs up against Peck this Saturday afternoon. It's homecoming for Peck. And then New Haven will have North Huron and Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. So what a gauntlet there for them.
Yeah, tough stretch.
Yeah, and for the Peck Pirates, as I said, home this Saturday. Then they'll have Carsonville, Port Sanilac. And this is a game that I do believe Sanilac Broadcasting has their eye on. Peck against Deckerville. What an interesting matchup now.
Yeah, that's a game. It hasn't been played in a couple of years with, you know, Deckerville being in the Stars and Peck being in the Stripes. But that's a game when Deckerville rejoined the NCTL in 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. That rivalry picked right back up, and you know, for the most part, Deckerville always beats Peck. But that's a game where, you know, Deckerville has a target on their back. You know, they have a target on their back in most of the NCTL games they play around here. But I like Peck's chances this year. It's going to be extremely tough. But I'm just looking forward to having another Sanilac County rivalry game back. We had Peck Brown City to start the season, and now we get to wrap it up with Peck Deckerville. And that's a pretty exciting way to start and finish the season.
I think the last time Deckerville lost to Peck was in 2014. And I do believe that was... Peck won, went to the semifinals that year, lost to Lawrence. And actually, Peck beat Deckerville also in 2013. That was the year they won the state championship.
Yeah, and so. In 2013 when they beat them, that was like the first time they beat them in, I want to say, like 50 years.
Wow.
And the year after that was the overtime game which was just a classic game. After that, you know, it's pretty much been all Deckerville, but we'll see if Peck can kind of close the gap a little bit this year.
In our overtime week 7 segment, we wrap it up now with Mesick at Brown City here, Jonathan. A Saturday afternoon game, another Saturday afternoon game, college-like atmosphere. This is a pretty good Mesick team, only one loss. They lost big to Marion, but for Brown City, you know, they've been taking on some pretty tough teams across the state because this is how the schedule worked out when they decided to go 8-player football.
Yeah, Brown City might be one of the most battle-tested teams at 8-player in the area, facing Sutton's Bay, facing Martin. Now they're going to be facing Mesick. You know, by the end of the year, we could be looking at a 8-1, 7-2 Brown City team going, wow, okay, something's brewing in Brown City. The move to 8-man football was the right move for them, and it might bring, you know, a little bit of excitement to the town.
They'll finish the season in week 9, I do believe, against K-Pec.
Yeah, Brown City will be playing K-Pec week 9.
Yeah.
I believe week 8 is open.
It is open? Are they thinking about Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian?
They've been trying to get a game set up, but
okay,
last I heard, it was nothing was set in stone yet.
Yeah, because Vander Cook Lake Jayhawks, well, they've lost. I don't know if they didn't play a game this past week. I know that. So
yeah,
they had a forfeit win a couple weeks ago against Britton Deerfield, who Brown City won this past week, 60-38, the final score. They got Mesick this week, only one loss, and that was to Marion, 50-6. So, you know, it's a lot of questions about the Mesick Bulldogs at this point for Brown City. We'll see if they can continue their winning ways also. But do they have enough to get into the playoffs, or are they too big of a school?
Brown City can qualify for the playoffs.
Well, they can because, okay, I'm just looking now. It's 210 according to Michigan High School Football's website here. So,
yep, they're just under the 215 number. And for those of you that check out Snooze to Use projections, they have Brown City and Kingston in the same region. They wouldn't be playing each other in the first round, but we could potentially have Brown City, Kingston, regional final, which would be just fantastic for Thumb Area football.
All right, and that wraps up our Monday edition. Jonathan, any parting words from you?
This is the best week of high school football we've had in the Thumb, and I can't wait for it.
All right, Jonathan Bishop, thank you for helping out with the Greater Thumb Conference talk, and of course, talking with us here, and we'll give you the day off tomorrow. Tomorrow, Mike Gallagher will be joining us for the Blue Water Area Conference High School 8-player football. But we got a lot in. I guess 8-player football seems to be always a big topic for us.
Eddie, no days off tomorrow. We got bowling.
That's right. I got to get the show done by 7 o'clock or maybe past that and race back for bowling league. We're not doing too bad. Cody Klee, Phil Nickel, the Thumb Chugger Sports bowling team, and Jonathan Fisher and myself out there from Stanley Broadcasting helping out. So, yeah. All right. Thank you, Jonathan. I'll let him go. All right. And thank you, Mike Gallagher.
Yeah, of course. I'm looking forward to stopping in tomorrow and kind of diving in a little bit more on some of these topics.
All right. That wraps up the Monday edition of the High School Sports Line Radio High School Football Sports Show on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Have a great night, folks. Tune in tomorrow, Tuesday, right around 5:30.
Celebrating over 50 years on the air. This is AM 660, WMIC Sandusky, and 95.3 FM, W237 EQ Sandusky.